Are you a 3PL spending more time and money than you'd like recruiting and onboarding logistics roles? Then it's time to check out Rapido Solutions Group, the leaders in nearshore logistics staffing. Located right next door in Mexico, they have access to the freight talent you need. From carrier sales to tracking and tracing and everything in between, they can do the heavy lifting for you. So if you're ready to get your time back and want to move fast, check out Rapido Solutions Group. Visit gorapido.com to get started today. Are you a 3PL spending more time and money than you'd like recruiting and onboarding logistics roles? Then it's time to check out Rapido Solutions Group, the leaders in nearshore logistics staffing. Located right next door in Mexico, they have access to the freight talent you need. From carrier sales to tracking and tracing and everything in between, they can do the heavy lifting for you. So if you're ready to get your time back and want to move fast, check out Rapido Solutions Group. Visit gorapido.com to get started today. Have you heard about Bitfreighter and the EDI revolution? Bitfreighter helps companies automate communication with their freight partners through unlimited messaging and quoting. Traditional providers can't say that. The Bitfreighter team is also available 24/7 and responds immediately by phone, email, or yes, even text. Legacy providers can't say that either. So if you want to scale your operations to save time and money, come join the EDI revolution with us. Visit bitfreighter.com to get started today. Hello, and welcome to the Bootstrapper's Guide to Logistics, the podcast highlighting founders doing it the way that doesn't get a lot of attention. We're here to change that by sharing their stories and inspiring others to take the leap.
It's a roller coaster ride. You might ultimately fail.
That's when I kind of knew I was on to something.
It was very hard.
It truly is building a legacy.
The more life you live, the more wisdom you have.
Because we are where we're supposed to be, kind of answering the call.
Don't shoulder entrepreneurship on your own.
I'm your host, Nate Schutz. Let's build something together from the ground up. You've got an amazing founder story. I know some of it already, but I just want to stay on this theme of other founders in the industry that are having an impact and maybe not even realizing it. And you brought up our mutual friend, Brad Perling. Mm-hmm. You're both in Nashville. You're both in the supply chain and technology space. What do you see him doing that's having such a big impact on people?
I think, one, he's just very focused on the problems that he's trying to solve. And he is actively like working to solve specific problems that he knows are very sales focused within freight. And so I think just sort of, one, seeing his approach on that, two, the way that he's really willing to connect people, even when it's not within his own benefit, I think those are always things that come back full circle. In a very quick period of time, I think because he's always willing to get deep with customers and really understand what their problems and issues are from his own experience, it's much easier. It makes it more seamless, I guess, for him to scale and grow his company. And then I think that some of the things that I've taken from him are he's really methodical on who he does work with, mm-hmm. just with his team. And if you meet even just the other members of his team, they're all just great people. There hasn't been one person on the Bitfreighter team that I've met and had like any questions about. Like, they're all just great people. So you can just tell that to me, that's always a direct reflection of like upper leadership when you can sense that from the others. And they just seem like they have fun with what they're doing. Like, I love just being like, even just being at the conferences or going to the Bitfreighter golf event, and just like the energy is always great. Like, there's multiple times at F3 in Chattanooga that they were just kind of hanging out at a high top, you know, no booth, no nothing, just having fun at their high top. And I would stop by multiple times and just find myself over there and just talking to Brad and Hannah. So,
well, and there's such a warmth and a welcome that you get from all of them. And you and I met at their golf tournament in Nashville last August, and Brad and I were talking, and he goes, "Hey, can you jump on a call with Hannah and I? We've got this golf tournament coming up, and we just want to share some ideas with you and get your thoughts." And I'm like, "Sure, let's chat." So we got onto a phone call or onto a Zoom, and they said, "How do you think we should do this part of the event?" And I'm like, "Well, I don't know. I'm just a dude with a podcast, but here's how I would approach it." And we started riffing back and forth, and then Brad says, "I got an idea. Why don't you come down?" I'm like, I'm not a Bitfreighter customer, but I love helping founders. So what do you have in mind? He's like, "Why don't you MC the event for us and just kind of bring some structure to that part of it. And Hannah and I got onto a bunch of calls afterwards, and man, she put in more energy and effort into making people feel welcome for that event. I do not know how she pulled it off. And then met David on their team, who's I don't know what it is about him, but we have the exact same funny bone. I had met him for all of 32 seconds, and we were laughing like he was a long lost brother. And the whole weekend was like that. And some people would talk about like company culture and here's our values and here's blah, blah, blah. And then there are those who just do it and just exude it. And there's probably no document that exists on their company that says, here's how we do business and here's how we interact. They have just found their people. And
yeah,
and then it shows up in every single, because at the Manifest conference, it was the same way. Every time I was walking down the hallway or through the convention center, you just want to hang around them. They're doing something that's so magnetic, and it feels effortless. And call that leadership, call that culture, whatever you, I don't know what you want to call it. I just know it's working and it's a joy to be around. And Brad turned me on to a book called The Go-Giver, which is a concept that's, you know, most people are go-getters. They want to go out and they get something for themselves. And Brad's like, Nate, I want you to read this book. And I get a lot of book recommendations. I'm a busy guy. But if somebody recommends that I buy a book, I do it 100% of the time. Half the time it's garbage, to be honest. But I'll still spend 13 bucks because somebody, you know, said it had an impact on them. And I want to see if it'll have an impact on me. And I read that book and I called Brad and I said, now I understand how you run your business and why it's working so well, because you're just out there adding value to other people with no expectation in return. The return comes. It just doesn't come in the way that you expect or the time that you expect. And when you offer exponential value to other people, they're always very happy to see you.
Of course.
Why wouldn't they be? And it's such a simple premise, but it's not about like the action. It's about like the posture of your heart. And if your posture towards others is generosity and service, wow, like that's just, it's a relaxing person to be around, because we're so used to being sold to all the time or targeted, and it doesn't feel real because it's not. And he's like, hey, I think we do some good work for companies, and if they see it too, we'd love to partner with them. And if they don't, you know, best of luck. And, you know, they're on their way.
I'm not surprised that was the book recommendation. It's funny. Him and I have not talked about that book. We talked about another sales book recently that ironically him and I are both reading at the same exact time. But I've heard of that book. I already feel like I know what the general principles of it are. And I already just know that he lives it, because there's so many times where, like, he even just looped me in with the first guy that I actually met at his golf event when you were speaking and I was sitting at the table. The guy that I was talking to, he actually just looped me and him in on a text message yesterday. Just, he's like, you guys just need to chat. Nothing, like, that's it, you know? And it's just constantly, that where he's recommending that or discussing product ideas, being very direct and honest, or even just like the ways that he thinks that I can grow the company. And it's just good because him and I can just riff on that stuff, and I'll explain to him what I'm doing that is working for me or what I feel is not working or what I've tried. And it just feels organic. Like, we're not trying to get more out of one another. Like, I just feel that I've just got a good founder friend that we can just openly talk about this stuff with. And it was funny, one of my last conversations with him, it was just more so like, you can call me anytime on the weekend, man. Like, this is just what I'm doing. He's like, it's the exact same over here. It doesn't really matter what time of day, anything, you know. And he's got his family and he's always running around with the kids and whatnot. But I think the last thing, at least to speak on him, that I really appreciate is because, like, for me, I feel that I just truly nerd out about CRM, and I know it's very odd, and people, and he was laughing and asking me about it in our conversation that we were having, but I get the same exact feel. I feel it out of him, and I just know it, that he's really just trying to solve EDI. Like, he genuinely cares about that world and being able to help people with it. And I think that that's why they've had so much success. They were, you know, a top 25 freight tech company, from Freight Waves Awards, and it's not just that. It's like what they've been able to do with the amount of customers they've been able to get in the past 2 years, you know, definitely less than three, and the impact that they've been able to make. So I think it's cool because he's not sitting there being like, I'm just trying to scale my company to X amount, sell for X amount. I've never heard that out of him once.
Not
it's
once,
just, he's just trying to help people. And that's, I feel that I take that same exact approach, and it's super refreshing that to be surrounded by that kind of person.
Well, I mean, it's the Nashville supply chain entrepreneurship vibe. Andy Shields, same approach, different business. And I know that the two of you worked together at some point.
Right. Twice.
Andy and I, when we first met, he calls me Nate Dogg. Every single time we
talk. Double G.
And every single time, I can't help it. It makes me smile. It makes me laugh. And so whenever I know Andy's rhythms, he stays home late in the morning to get his kids fed, you know, breakfast with the family, and then off to school or whatever they've got going on. And then, you know, sometimes we talk in the evening and he's in the kitchen, he's making dinner for his family with his wife, and he has integrated his life's work and his family. It's so symbiotic. And he's an intense guy too. I mean, he's very successful. He knows what he is doing. He's started one company, sold it, started the second company, having a ton of success. And yet he's got his priorities so clear. And there are a few people, if I'm on the phone or if I'm busy or I'm doing something and I look on my phone and it says Andy Shields, I'm sorry, I have to take this phone call. And I say, sup, dude? And he goes, Nate Dogg. And then instantly I'm laughing. I'm in a good place. And that's the impact he's had on me. How about you?
So I got to see a lot. I mean, I felt a lot of that when I was actually interviewing with them. I was working for Tesla, didn't know what a freight brokerage was, but I had met Andy multiple different times before I even was looking for another job, just through some mutual friends. And I mean, that's how his energy always was when I met him. He was just a super cool guy. Like, so we were just friends. And then he eventually got to the point where I was looking for another job. And it wasn't the conversation I had with him. It was from my other friend. He's like, well, you should consider it. And he worked for Andy. And when I went on site at that company, as One Point Logistics, it was just a really cool environment. Like, the energy was just there. People were moving, going around. I can feel the energy and, you know, what they were trying to achieve from meeting with him and the other sales leaders, and then meeting with the operations leaders, and then the people that were kind of in the other departments in my interviewing process. But the one thing that I've really, I guess, just respected about him as an entrepreneur is just that guy. I kind of just label him as just like a straight gamer. Like, the guy just is never out of the mode. And I've got a relationship with him and his family and his wife, Megan. And I've even talked with Megan about it, of just like, he falls asleep, not to put his business out there, he like falls asleep with his AirPods and just like listening to freight podcasts and just things that are going on in the market. Like, he literally eats, sleeps, and breathes stuff. And I remember having a conversation with him, because I get really deep with my work to the point where I lose sleep, because like, I just can't shut my brain off, and like, something will come up in my mind. Did I do this? Did I finish that? Or the ideas just start falling into my head. And him and I have talked about that a few different times, and it's the same way for him. He's like, yeah, just welcome to the game, you know, like, welcome to this world. But yeah, I think he's had that success because he's just so ingrained in the business, and especially within freight. Like, the guy literally, and Megan has told me, like, sleeps with the AirPods in, like, going to sleep with it. And then I think he wakes up, it's the same thing. He's got multiple different AirPods, has them laying around. That's just how it is for him. So I've definitely taken that for myself. With
my wife, Alicia, and I had dinner with Megan and Andy in Nashville last August. And of course, you know, go up to Andy, big hug. And Megan comes up to me and she goes, oh, you're Andy's freight therapist. Because it's the same thing where we could talk about this stuff for hours and hours endlessly, because we love it. And it is so integrated. And my wife would say the same thing. Like, she calls Andy my internet friend, because we met on the internet. The new joke though is my wife and I met on eHarmony. And so I say, well, you're my internet wife. And she's like, okay, well played. Andy's a real person. He's not just your internet friend.
Right.
And, but there's this thread of Like, we all love the same industry from a different perspective. And we've all got our priorities right on family and things that are beyond the industry. But then we get to show up and hang out with friends that are all in this entrepreneur layer of business. And you have different things that you're working on. You have different challenges. And everybody's highly motivated, high achieving. I mean, you're also an intense guy. Like, you have a singular focus on what you're building. Mm-hmm. But every single time I see you, you're smiling. Every single time. I don't know if I've ever seen you have a bad day.
We'll be right back.
Have you heard about Bitfreighter and the EDI revolution? Bitfreighter helps companies automate communication with their freight partners through unlimited messaging and quoting. Traditional providers can't say that. The Bitfreighter team is also available 24/7 and responds immediately by phone, email, or yes, even text. Legacy providers can't say that either. So if you want to scale your operations to save time and money, come join the EDI revolution with us. Visit bitfreighter.com to get started today.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's just keeping a clear perspective, man. You know, like, at the end of the day, I literally look at it as simple as I'm sitting in front of computer screens. You know, I'm trying to help, obviously, specifically people that are trying to scale their sales organization or streamline their sales process, or, you know, to put their companies in a better revenue situation, increase load count, grow, you know, the new shippers that they're working with. But I keep a deep perspective on the other jobs that are out there and what people are physically doing, or what they, just the harder situations that they're in.
Yeah.
And I think that I just have an appreciation for that. Like, I'm super grateful for the life that I have. And of course, things can always be quote unquote better.
Yeah.
But I just think of what I have good friends that will keep that perspective in front of me. And I just constantly, I try to follow the right sort of people that will talk about those sorts of different things. So it keeps it in front of me of, like, those shouldn't be problems that I'm complaining about. And there's, like, one small story, I guess I'll share on that, that I had when I was at OPL. This was a day Andy was out of office. Luke, my boss, was also out of office at that time. And when that would happen, like, me or Adam Williams, who was the other sales manager, we would get to speak in front of the company on the floor. And it was the day after Kobe died. And I'm a diehard big basketball fan. And I didn't like Kobe growing up because he just won all the time. I was a big underdog person. And as I got older, I just gained more and more respect for Kobe throughout the years. And especially when he did retire, in his last game, he scored 60 something points, you know, was able to will his team to victory. But I spoke with them about that because so many times it was just that I would just, you know, people are just complaining about this team member, complaining about, hey, this, like, I could have covered that truck at this rate and all this kind of stuff, or this person's doing that, or this situation. And the reason why I, like, spoke to this, it was nothing about freight that day. It was just more so a conversation around, this stuff can be pulled from us at any time. This is a guy that I looked at now, not as a basketball player, but as an entrepreneur with the stuff that he was doing with Body Armor and Nike, and just with these brands that he was already growing outside of basketball very quickly. He was just taking everything that he did really well with his work ethic and basketball, bringing it to the business world, had impact. And I just looked at, it was super odd. I just looked at him as, like, unstoppable, and that anything that he touched was just going to go to gold, and, like, nothing could go wrong. And then in an instant, he passed away. Mm. You know, and you just can't.
Talk, and so for me,
yeah, it was just perspective, right? And so I was like, look, if we just paused really quick and look around us, we have some super talented individuals at this company that came from some of the top brokerages in the space. I felt super fortunate to be there. It was hard for me to actually get the job there because they were really stuck on even getting somebody that didn't come from freight and coming from Tesla. But I was like, we need to just kind of appreciate the situation that we're in. We work in a badass office. We work around some incredibly intelligent people. I've learned so much from the people that are here. You know, and, you know, you could just have that stuff. And, like, I was, that was a whole different world that I wasn't even, you know, ever exposed to. It was so we were just super fortunate. I was like, we need to be, I just hope you guys are grateful because things can happen. And then 2 months later, that company did shut down. Hmm. You know, so it was one of those situations. And I remember just how distraught people were. I was super frustrated. That's what got me to the point where I started Sales Dash because I wanted to start my own thing. But I think just perspective is so, so key. And so that's why I try to go about my day and not to get, I guess, like long-winded and just bounce around here. But keep I read going, something dude. One time. Yeah, I read something one time that just talked about leaders and that you didn't have to be in a position of, you know, quote unquote leadership or management to be a leader. And it doesn't really matter kind of like what position you are in as a human, but like an interaction that you have with somebody, you are a leader because that interaction you're having with them, there's two situations. Like it's either a positive or a negative impact that you have on that person. And you have the choice to decide what that is. And when I heard that, I was like, okay, every interaction I have with people, I want the majority of that to be positive. Why not? I get that choice, right? I can either go about it and they can think very negative of me, or I can just try to help them out because I don't know how that can come back around full circle. Mm-hmm. But I get fulfillment out of doing that. And I think that's why I enjoy doing what I do. And I think that's why I was able to get into leadership and management at a young age at Tesla. And I wore that with a lot of pride. Like to me, that's one of my biggest accomplishments was I was the store manager for the only location in Tennessee at 24. And, wow. You know, some people, I remember like walking into the store and shaking hands with people and I could see the look on their face because I'm just a baby faced 24 year old. And they're like, this is the new manager of the store.
Car.
Yeah. And, you know, even talking to customers and being like, yeah, this is the manager. But to me, there's one of two things. Like I can get intimidated by that, or I can go prove to them like why I'm in this position because I feel that I've earned this and this wasn't something that was just given to me. And I do feel it was genuinely earned from what I was able to do in sales, but the impact I was able to make with hiring both the two managers that they needed out of Atlanta, which were the only two stores that they had in Georgia, the results that I had as a salesperson, and just the work that I would put in. I was working 6 to 7 days a week by choice because I was just so committed to the mission. And that's where I think it doesn't matter about experience. It doesn't matter about all those things like you, at the end of the day, have the choice to, it's my mantra, my life mantra is you owe yourself an explanation for your results and the things that happen to you. And if you blame other people and scenarios and managers, those are the times where I think like people lose. And so for me, if I don't get a result or if I don't get a customer or anything, there's something I think that I could have done better. And that has always driven me to success. And there's going to be times where I don't have it. But at the end of the day, I think that I'm giving myself a better chance to make the right kind of impact, to help people, and then to help myself succeed and take care of those around me if needed.
Oh, I think I lost you there for a second. It said, the last thing I heard you say was there for a second.
Yeah, no, I was talking to my life mantra being you owe you. And it comes from Eric Thomas, who's a motivational speaker. And it was when I heard that where this was when I was at Tesla, I would hear people blame leads. I would hear people blame their manager for their results and whatnot. And I just think when you do that internally and you put the onus and the ownership on yourself, that's where I think the best work comes out is because if I have a sales rep that's not succeeding, I legitimately blame it on me. If they get fired or if something didn't work out, I legitimately blame it on me because I think what could I have done better to try to lead them? And I think in that it drives the best actions and behaviors out of myself. So, with my teams.
Contrast that with this fake, let's design a consultative selling approach that fosters, you know, connection in 30 seconds or less. And it's contrived and it feels contrived. And we know we're being sold to. And so instantly we're skeptical. As opposed to what you feel when you walk up to Hannah and Dave and Brad, which is they're not trying to do anything. They're just being themselves. It feels effortless because they're just being in their natural state. And so when like specifically in the sales arena, like we have learned to detect BS so well. Mm-hmm. because we just feel like a piece of meat. You know, you're just a target, and I have an objective and a quota, and I'm going to hit that. And rather than try to teach people different techniques for how to build rapport, how about if you actually just care? How about if you like recognize you may be a solution for somebody, you may not be, but if you're there in a posture of serving them and trying to add value to them, and maybe it doesn't work out for you, but it will come back in the long run somewhere else. Aside from being more effective, it's more satisfying. It's more satisfying to build a relationship and not gain a piece of business than to not gain the piece of business and feel like, you know, a used car salesman from the 80s.
Right. I agree. I have, there's sometimes where I have plenty of conversations where I know that there's not an opportunity, but I can still just have a conversation with somebody and it's an enjoyable conversation. And I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the one thing that, you know, talking about Brad and them, and then also some of the issues that you just see with salespeople today are, they just, a lot of it, and the reason why sales gets a bad rep in general is because people just go straight for it. And that's what makes people feel like a piece of meat.
Yep.
And I think what Brad does and what, you know, I try to do, and I think what really good salespeople do, is they first take the time to try to understand who they're talking to. That's the first step. And I'm just a big observer to how people try to sell me. And when you don't understand my world and what my needs actually are, you're not going to sell me. It's not going to happen. You have to take the time to actually understand somebody, that if there's even a problem that they're having. But when you're just going straight for the close, you're being ignored, or you're being reported as spam or blocked. Like, it's just the truth. And it's going to only happen more and more. But that's where I think it's a really simple fix. Just seek to understand first, and then actually from that, actively listen and take the time to say, can you actually help this person or not? Or are you just trying to sell? And I do think that one of the issues that companies have today is when you put over aggressive goals in place that are, I'm not going to say unattainable, but when there's true no rhyme and reason behind these extremely high goals, my philosophy on this is when you put these super high goals in place, this trickles down to your team. They feel this pressure, and that pressure goes to your prospects and your potential customers. And with that, they're not able to deliver the best quote unquote customer experience. And so with that, you're not putting your team in, because the mental mindset of like the selling process is really, really key. You have to detach yourself from the outcome. That's going to allow you to really work to build that connection and try to form a relationship. But when it's just, we have to hit these numbers, we have to hit these numbers, and you're not focused on helping people, that's where I think that gets drawn out in the sales process, and it becomes more selling versus helping. Well, and I think a lot of that starts from the over aggressive goals.
Well, that external pressure changes everything. There's an illustration of like an archer. I think this is from an ancient Chinese practice. It might be Buddhist even, of if you ask an archer to shoot at a target for fun, he's going to hit the bullseye. And then if you ask him to hit the target because there's a competition, he will, you know, get close, but he's not as free. He's not as relaxed.
You're thinking about it too much.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Like, his natural state is to hit a bullseye, but now you're putting an objective on top of the action, and it changes everything. And Rick Rubin is like a famous producer for world, you know, the most famous musicians in the world. And he's not a musician himself. He can't read music. He can't even really describe why he likes certain things or the vibe that he gets from them. And I just saw this video of him talking about people who want to, their approach to their job or to owning a business. And he said, some people say you need to go out there, risk everything, and that pressure will make you sell more effectively because you got to put food on the table. And he's like, what if, you know, the point of having a job is just to be able to feed your family so that you can do the thing that you are meant to do, which might be helping others or serving some unmet need. But because you don't have the pressure of having to meet that need to feed your family, you can actually do that thing more expertly and effortlessly. So yeah, don't quit your job and start a company. start a company and get it to a place where, you know, it's doing what you wanted it to do, and maybe keep your job.
Right.
Or maybe pursue that extra thing, because that extra layer of pressure, suddenly you begin to feel desperate. And then I have to do this. And as soon as you have that feeling, you've call it flow state or whatever you want to, you're outside of alignment. And other people can pick up on that, and they know you need something now. Well, then you become a taker, because I need to get something from you. That's why I like even what you do with Sales Dash. You've taken something that everybody needs. You got to organize your sales efforts, and you've niched it down to just an industry that you know from the inside, and you know, offer that to brokerages and carriers and anybody who's selling in the industry, and saying, hey, look, here's what we offer. May work for you. You may not need it. If you don't need it, I'll introduce you to somebody else that maybe does something closer to what you need. Great to meet you. Holler if you want to chat further. And you have such a soft sales approach that feels effortless, that it's no wonder to me that you're having success. And I know it's not easy. You're doing something. Building software is really hard. Yeah. Selling software is even harder. Doing it in this industry, probably hardest of all, in this environment right now, you know, darn near impossible. And yet when we started talking a half an hour ago, you were like the smiliest and happiest and your normal self that I see every time we talk.
Yeah, because I honestly just don't get caught up in a lot of the noise of market's bad, budgets may be tighter, all that kind of stuff. For me, my goal is basically to plant seeds and see who can I help and or who can I not. And I'm okay with that. And I live with those results all the time. And I am very honest with people about if I feel that what they say that their needs are don't fit the criteria that our solution at Sales Dash helps with, I will refer them to other places. Mm-hmm. Like if they're going big workflow automation kind of stuff, I have two different CRMs that I typically would probably recommend. If you're looking for super big marketing suite with like website tracking clicks and all that kind of stuff, we're not going to be able to help you out with that. Like you should go a different direction. You know, ours is very like simple, fundamental. It just clears out a lot of the noise. And for those where that's what you're looking for, great. Like there's going to be enough out there. I'm a big believer that there's just an abundance of customers, but I'm also really clear to the understanding that we're just not going to be a fit for everybody. And that's okay. I can live with that. You know, I'm very happy with the
abundance is the answer. I mean, that is literally you leave a trail of breadcrumbs of gratitude and generosity behind you everywhere you go. And, you know, that our paths connected this week totally randomly through conversation you were having with somebody who builds and supports digital communities. And obviously I've got a founder group that has grown over the last couple of years. And I'm on this website late at night, you know, experimenting and checking something out. And this guy, this message pops up and he says, oh, Nate, I was just talking with somebody about you like 48 hours ago. I'm like, I don't know who you are, guy, but sure. And he's like, no, it's Josh Lyles. I'm like, what? How in the world are we connecting on the internet in a chat room, basically, with somebody else in Nashville that you're really good friends with? Like, how does that happen? And the answer is, it doesn't happen when you're closed off to other people and you're a taker. And those circles converge and good things. And they're experiments. Who knows what happens when those ingredients all mix together? Sometimes it's a dud and sometimes there's sparks.
That's a good point. And him and I actually talked about that kind of in leaving our last conversation that we were having that day that I was talking with him about you and the group that you built with Ballast. And what I was telling him was, like, from a perspective standpoint that I was also talking to my girlfriend about, is so I met Jordan at a Nashville tech event, and three of my better friends that I have in Nashville are not in freight. One's a civil engineer. One has a software company for customer success teams in tech. Jordan, he's in marketing for a holdco company. So they're all in different things. But I met all these guys at different networking events. And I was telling Jordan that I've kind of found myself not wanting to go to as many of these simply because, you know, they're not freight specific or logistics specific. But at the same time, I'm keeping front of mind that had I not gone to those events, I don't meet Jordan or I don't meet my other friend Blair or my other friend Sagar from just saying like, just go. Like, what else am I going to do, you know, at that specific time? I've met them and they've made a huge impact on my life. And, you know, like they're friends, I would say, for the rest of my life at this point. I really enjoy my conversations with them, even though some of them I don't get to talk with as frequently.
Yeah.
But I at least like have that perspective that I didn't get any customers out of those events, but I have somebody that I can talk really strategically with, whether it's personally or professionally. And that made it all worth it for the hour, hour and a half that I may have gone. So I did tell him that even though when those events are still going on, that if it's not fully related with what he does in the marketing world or what I do in freight, like we should still go. Even if we're just talking together by ourselves, it's still worth probably us getting out and just seeing who may be there because you just never know.
Well, and that personally side of it is something that we don't acknowledge very often. I mean, we started the conversation talking about, you know, like with Andy, you know, integrating his work and his family. It's they're not separated. They're connected. And it's okay to have, you know, professional relationships that border on personal, and you know what's going on in my life and I know what's going on in yours. And hey, somebody's going through a really difficult stretch and needs a different kind of support than professional, you know, industry right. level stuff. And like, hey, I know you're in a tight spot right now. It feels like all is lost and things are hard and you feel alone. Call me. Like, let's have that conversation, because the truth is you're not alone. And if you don't have those people in your life, whether they're in the industry or not, like I just don't understand why people would choose to go and do all of this stuff without being in relationship with other people. I mean, I've got a group of guys that I get together with 6 o'clock in the morning every Thursday. I've been doing it for 10 years. And there's like six of us or eight of us. And we're just trying to be better dads and better husbands, better men. And we actually support each other. Like we'll there's nothing off limits. We will tell each other every single part of our lives and share the deepest and darkest things. And then you get support and then you move on with your day. And you're like, a week from now, I'm going to be back because I need it. I need to be grounded in something and with other people. And not to say that there's still not hard things, because there are, but it's way better to walk through the dark, scary woods of life, you know, with somebody and be scared together, you know, than it is to do it alone. I just don't know any other way, because I've tried the alone route.
Same.
And it wasn't pretty. When Nate left to his own devices is not. It's not a good place. It gets real right. dark real quick. And I just choose not to stay there anymore. So I'm so glad to have, like, we started this conversation an hour ago. We've only been recording for a half an hour, but for the first 20 minutes, we couldn't shut up because it's just so good to connect again. And
always.
How lucky are we?
Super lucky. Trey and I were texting about that, like off on the side during one of the ballast meetings and whatnot. But I mean, super lucky. And you don't, I think what's rare is like you just don't typically find a group of people like that where it's already a group that's in place and it's only growing, right? And it does, and to me, it does grow organically the correct way because of like what's already set. And for those that just don't align with that, they're of course just not going to become a part of it because it just may be too shallow, you know, they just may be not willing to go that deep. And that's okay.
We don't talk about ballast publicly a lot, kind of by design, and I'm mm-hmm. starting to talk about it a little bit more. How would you describe it, and what does it offer you?
I would describe it as just a group of founders in the logistics and supply chain space that are looking to, that are just very open and vulnerable about the very unique paths that we're on, but that we also just find so many similarities with the roller coaster of the days and the weeks that we go through and the highs and the lows, but can be very honest and open about what is going well, but also just what's not going well. And I think it's also what's not going well is what a lot of people are not willing to talk about, but that's a lot of the times like what we need to have, or just the reminders on perspective. And just like I always phrase it as like a small just change of direction. Like sometimes we're just looking in this small window and you just need that person to say, hey, just move your head 15 degrees this way. And then just going down that path can make all the difference. And that's what I think is really cool about the group is it's all about how you're contributing to it. You have stuff in your own experience that you can contribute and others are going to be able to contribute to you. And if you can just be honest and saying like, I'm struggling with this, I need help with this. There are always multiple people that are raising their hand, willing to help and share their experience and saying, hey, you should consider this, or this is what's worked for me. And a lot of them are very successful.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for that. And thank you for being a part of it. It's because of founders like you that make it work, where you are willing to help and willing to get honest and go deep, because it's not for everybody. For those who are willing to go there, our hope is that the rewards are exponential and they're beyond the business outcomes. There are life outcomes that go along with it as well. And you go to events now and you go to conferences and it's like a family reunion. You're just going from person to person.
It's so cool.
High fives and hugs everywhere you go because you know you've got a whole network of other people that just want to see you win. I mean, so it's a blast and it's a privilege to be a part of it. I don't know how it even happened. Half the time I just marvel that we have this group of people that are willing to do that. And I mean, even just today, you're willing to go totally call an audible on the Bootstrapper's Guide to Logistics, an unusually candid conversation. And maybe this is our signal that this is where we need to go with the podcast, even is let's start going here more. And the founder journey is obviously fascinating. You're on yours. And maybe we have to do a whole separate episode for you at some point, Josh, and unpack your whole entrepreneurial journey. But for this path, the stretch of the path that you're on right now, I'm so glad to be a part of it with you.
And I appreciate all the support. I probably like one of my most like happiest moments at F3 was watching you and Roberto getting to record live. I felt like a soccer dad just like sitting there recording the whole time. I was like, this is so cool to be able to do this in person. And I know how much it meant for you. But for me, I was just like sitting there just as stoked. Like I didn't really care about the other sessions and stuff that were going on. But I took like multiple different videos and pictures. I just thought it was cool because to me, what was cool is being able to already build those connections with everybody over Zoom, but then getting a chance to be in person and to kind of just like talk about the stuff, you know, together. Like even, you know, the small thing of like, you and I having lunch or coffee and like going through Stripe together of like the pains that it can be to set those little things up. Yes. Like it's just nice to organically like be able to do that in person for those little times that you get to. And I definitely don't take it for granted because, you know, we don't get to do it too often. There's not too many of those conferences or events that we'll all be in the same area at the same time just because of how life can go. But for me, it's cool because like I feel that, you know, we do have a real relationship and I think what you've put together is awesome, man. Like, I was pretty blown away the first time I joined the group because of like the stories I heard from other people and how willing they were to go deep with their personal and professional situations. And I was like, yeah, you're not going to just find that in a lot of different places. Like most of the people that you have the quick interactions with on LinkedIn or online are very just, they feel super transactional. But you get the instance when you know people care. And I think you as the leader of the group have just done such a good job of just setting the values and the basis. And like one of my favorite things I love about the meetings is how you just start them off. Like the first time I saw that and you're like, we're going to go through the rules and everything that stays in this room stays in the room and everything. And I was like, damn, this is no joke. You know, like this is, and I think there's a reason why you see the caliber of people that are in it. And I give a lot of kudos and props to you for bringing everybody in the group together, because it's one of the things I look forward to most, you know, throughout the month is just being able to jump in those sessions. And they're 90 minutes, but that 90 minutes goes by super fast.
Oh, you made me tender to hear that. I'm well done, touched. Man. Thank you.
I appreciate you.
You got me, man. You also have to send me the picture from F3 event last year because I didn't know you were taking pictures.
They're in your text messages.
I was so nervous to do that. I had never done video before, and It's a bigger stage, and I like private and one-on-one conversations. That's my home base. And so knowing that you were there and a handful of others were watching and cheering us on meant a ton to me. So I receive that and I accept it, and I'm glad to know you, and I'm rooting for you.
Likewise, brother. I appreciate it.
Thanks for a great chat.
This is fun.
Thanks for listening to another episode of The Bootstrapper's Guide to Logistics. And a special thank you to our sponsors and the team behind the scenes who make it all possible. Be sure to like, follow, or subscribe to the podcast to get the latest updates. To learn more about the show and connect with the growing community of entrepreneurs, visit logisticsfounders.com. And of course, thank you to all the founders who trust us to share their stories.